scaling rice innovations and development of rice production in Africa. Africa Rice is a CGIAR research center, so it's one of the 15 centers of the CGIAR organizational system, and it's also a Pan-African intergovernmental association, so it's the only one that has a council of ministers, only CGIAR center that has a council of ministers, which means that the directives from the top come from the ministers who are representing the member countries. There are 26 member countries. Ethiopia was the last one, and we'll soon have Mozambique joining. The headquarters is here in Côte d'Ivoire. For those who thought, most people ask me about Cotonou, we've moved from there, we're here now. We have regional centers and country stations in Nigeria, Senegal, and Tanzania, and country offices in Benin, Liberia, and Madagascar. Now, our major challenge is to contribute to boosting the rice sector through research, and we deliver policy advice, rice information and knowledge, improve seed and cropping practices, and we also look at capacity development, and we support the development of the rice value chains. The most important thing here that we want to bring out is the challenges with regards to rice. And we all know that rice is a very important crop. It's political, as some people say, strategic. And everybody, especially in West Africa, everybody eats rice. In East Africa, it's a bit of a business. But in West Africa, it's all about food security. But we have a problem with production, in the sense that production lags behind consumption. You can see from the graph there. And what is heartening about it all is that Sub-Saharan Africa spends about roughly $5 billion to import rice. And we could do a lot with that amount of money. And I think that's very heartrending when you see that. And when you look at rice imports into Sub-Saharan Africa, it has grown over the years. At the bottom, you can see from 1970 to 2015, that rice importation. So there's been something. Something's been happening. There were some countries that were producing rice, countries that were self-sufficient, and over the years, over 30 years, that has changed. And we're now struggling to actually satisfy our needs in terms of rice. And this is explained by this graph here that shows rice self-sufficiency ratio in selected countries. And you can see the big difference. Some countries are doing well. Nigeria is right at the top, big consumer of rice, 50% self-sufficiency, roughly. There are others, like the countries that are basically consuming rice, like Madagascar is at the top, about 70%, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Some of these countries are roughly at about 80%, but they still haven't got there. So in a whole, you can see that there is a problem. And since rice is so important, and we saw what happened when the food crisis, there are countries that went on a rampage, and because there was no rice. So rice is very important, and we have to sort this out. How do we do it? Africa Rice is involved in, it's a research institution for development. So we work with the countries. Like I said, we have a council of ministers that represents countries, and work with the institutions in the countries. And a strategic plan was developed in 2011, which goes on to 2020. This plan is developed around a strategy which involves, because we are a CGIAR center, we work with other CGIAR, and we address challenges that are actually defined in research projects. And we gain knowledge from some of our partners in other areas out of Africa, because that's what research is all about. We work with them, and we develop technologies and innovations and policy advices and a lot of research deliveries. But specifically in Africa Rice, we have developed, to facilitate our work, we have developed task forces, the policy task force, gender, processing and value addition, agronomy, breeding, and mechanization. And these task forces actually deal with research. And obviously, in the process, we work with the rice value chain actors. It's not just about production, it's about the whole value chain from production to the market, commercialization. So we work with consumers, retailers, wholesalers, millers, processors, creditors, farmers, seed producers, and input suppliers, because they actually make the demand, and we respond to their demands. And we have enablers, what we call enablers, people who facilitate, institutions that facilitate the work we do, not only the research, but also the products, how we disseminate the products. And we have the policymakers, we've heard a lot about the policymakers. We have donors who actually bring in some amount of finance to actually do the work, government, public extension, the NGOs and farmer associations. So our strategy is built around this whole different categories of people that we work with. And obviously, our objective is to achieve 90%, at least 90% rice self-sufficiency in 2020. You might want to ask, where are we? We are roughly at about 60% globally, and we still have some more to do. Now, the essence of this meeting is about innovation, the research and innovation, and scaling out. I would say scaling up and scaling out. I've always explained the difference between scaling up and scaling out. It's difficult to understand. But what I call scaling up is when you get your programs taken up by government. And that's why we have problems. And I was saying to somebody, if you don't have policies to put in place to actually help take through your products, it will never go. It will never go. So it's important. And scaling out is just about the area we cover. So there is a big difference. But we're talking about scaling. And I mentioned the Africa-wide task forces. These are the forces that we have put in place. They consisted of research scientists, not only in Africa, but who are working with scientists in the various countries. And they generate and test technologies and innovations across the various countries. We have also developed the rice sector development hubs. These are rice, and what we do is, within these hubs, we integrate rice products, rice research products, across the rice value chain in order to achieve development and sustainable impact. So we're looking at impact, and that's why we have developed these hubs. And then the innovation platforms, again, this came up in rice value chain. So it's not about working across the rice value chain, but working within a context which is we're dealing with innovations, and we have to push innovations. And we have established innovation platforms, and these and they are facilitated in the rice sector development hubs. And these are multi-stakeholder approach to link the various actors of the value chain. There are many of them, smallholder farmers, entrepreneurs, microfinance, we spoke about that, research and extension policy, and development partners as well. A lot of this. Now, to go into further explanation of the rice sector development hubs, these are areas that we have of importance in the various countries that we that are member countries of Africa that have been, and we didn't identify these hubs. They were identified by the countries themselves, the team. These are key rice ecologies, and they present different market opportunities. So we're looking at where we're going to grow rice, and then we're looking at what we want to do with the products, market opportunities. So it's right across the value chain. And we're linked to major, these hubs are linked to major national or regional rice development efforts. And this is, like I said, to facilitate not only outscaling but upscaling of technologies and innovations. So like I said, if you don't link it to the government policies, it's hard to get them to move out. So these hubs were developed to actually test all of those various mechanisms. They're testing grounds for new rice technologies and innovations by the task force and other sources. So a lot of work going on. When we started, there were 74 hubs in various agroecological zones in 25 countries. We have Ethiopia on board now, and we're working with Ethiopia to define the rice hubs. Most countries have 2 to 3 hubs, a few have 4 and above. But because of limitations in funding, we have core hubs and satellite hubs. So the core hubs are where we're actually doing most of our testing. And then the satellite hubs, we actually make sure that those in these hubs come and learn from the experiences that we get from the core hubs. And these rice sector development hubs are scattered all over sub-Saharan Africa, as you can see, it's all over the place. innovation platforms, let me just back up a bit. Innovation platforms, and yes, I think the minister tried to define innovation and said that there are various definitions, but innovation is the utilization of knowledge, and it goes beyond invention. I think that's, so you create, and then you use, and that's what we, and within a particular a context. And these technological innovations that we develop may not take off if put in a dysfunctional system. So the system has to be very functional. And these and institutional innovation is required to address systemic problems. So it's not as easy as some people think. And when we started talking about innovation platforms and innovation systems thinking, it was, I think, I remember when I was at CORAF, we were talking about this, we were pushing it with FARA, and it was a very complex idea. And then we started talking about innovation platforms to implement innovation system thinking. And we're using this. We're linking farmers with youths, linking farmers with scientists, linking farmers with different categories of stakeholders. And this is an example of an innovation platform. We have one in Lafia, Nasarawa, in Nigeria, which works. And you can see there are various actors. All of them are in there. So to actually, there is an innovation that comes out, and we try to push this innovation. And we have a lot of partners in there asking questions, improving the innovation if it needs improvement, taking it to the market, how we take it to the market, transporters, all different actors. And then there is a whole learning process in there as well. And because of this complex innovation platform system, we have developed a framework for competence and skills building, which is important within the rice value chain. And we have issues with starting and facilitating IPs, and there are various activities that are involved, factors and elements that help start up IPs and facilitate IPs. It's not as easy as we think. We just go in there and do things, but we have to do this. Technical and institutional innovation, I mentioned, is very important. Technologies and innovations, what they look like, they should be demand-driven, for example. They should be catalyzing technology, innovation, dissemination. So they should have all these characteristics. And of course, entrepreneurship, because you can't go into a platform and say, okay, fine, you're going to ask, what am I going to gain? If you're not getting anything, you're not going anywhere. So entrepreneurship is important. You develop entrepreneurship so that you can get some gains. And obviously, we have to involve the youth and women, most of our. And then there is the learning and reflection side of it, which is very important, and is the feedback to research. Research on IPs and innovation processes, because we want to know why this is working so that we understand how we can push innovations further downstream. So this is important. And then we have outcome monitoring, where we monitor all of this. And obviously, it's important in the process we document and share experiences and learnings. I don't have much time, so I'll just run through that. And then there is a question of self-sustaining partnership for rice development. And here I have actually, we have a lot of technologies, a lot of policies, a lot of practices that we have developed, which we are using in the pushing into the innovation platforms, and in the process we're improving them, and we're getting impact. And obviously we can't do this alone as Africa Rice. We work with our partners. I have mentioned some of them there. And obviously the rice hubs provide linkages. That's where everything is done. So we are not scattered all over the place. We focus and we do what we have to do. And obviously monitoring and evaluation has to be strong for the learning processes. That's where we actually make sure that we're learning and we're giving back to research, doing some feedback. Thank you very much.